I'll take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I handed out the Bible study, the handouts there, 1 through 3. I don't know that we'll make it back to number 2 today. We're still on it, but I just wanted everybody to have a copy of it because we are dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, and we're dealing with judgments as a Christian. And we looked a few weeks ago as the judgment as a sinner, and that was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. And judgment as a son is the one that we're currently on. And then we'll look at a judgment as a servant, which will be the third and lesson on that before we actually get real deep into the judgment seat of Christ. We're looking at those three different things. But last week, I started to talk a little bit about the reasons why we need to be preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. And we're talking about the judgment as a son. All this stuff ties together. I realize you don't have all these notes of what I covered last week, and even getting into today, you don't have those in your paper there. But judgment as a son. And the section that we're on in that study on judgment as a son is judging yourself. If you would judge yourself, you're going to fare a whole lot better than if God has to do it. And so that's what we're dealing with. You say, why do we need to do that? And what is the urgency of doing that? And I want to look at, for a few minutes this morning, more towards that direction. And Lord willing, next Sunday we'll be back on your paper there. But Matthew chapter 24, this passage here, Matthew 24, is dealing with what is called the Great Tribulation. And the next event on the calendar for the church, for the Christian, is the rapture. That's the next thing that's going to take place. We're going to be raptured out of here. And then after that, the Great Tribulation. And some point after the rapture, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for everything that we've done. Every person will give an account of himself. Every pastor will give an account of the church that he pastored. Every preacher will give an account of every word that he spoke when preaching. Every father will give an account for how he ruled his home. And so everybody's going to give an account at that day, and we'll go into more of that later. But what we find here in Matthew chapter number 24 are signs that this tribulation's coming. Signs of this. Now, we've always had tribulation of some sort. Back in the early church age, they were under great tribulation. They were under persecution. And we've always gone through that, but there's going to be a 7-year period of tribulation. I'm not going to get real deep into that right now, but I want you to notice some of the signs that this day's coming close. It's getting closer. Look with me in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?" I mean, for years, even in my time, there's some older folks that maybe know where you've heard it, you know, back years ago. But I've heard different events take place and people say, this is the end of the world. I mean, even when 9/11 took place and the bombings there in New York, there was people that said, this is the end of the world. You know, different things like that. The disciples were asking, what is the signs of thy coming? And when will be the end of the world? And Jesus said unto them in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. So the first thing he says in addressing what will be the signs of the end of the world is, make sure no man deceives you. That was number one. And I'm telling you, there's a great deception today. And I'm not going to get into some of this. If y'all want to get into it later, we can. That's fine. But the things going on with like the UFOs right now. I mean, all of a sudden the government is willing to tell us all about it, but it was secret for years, and people that saw things disappeared, and you know, the government wouldn't let them say nothing, but now all of a sudden they're going to talk about it. There's a lot going on right now. And so he said, be not deceived. We've been deceived for years and years and years by the government, by different people. But he told them that you shouldn't be deceived. And you know what? Thankfully, because we have this Bible, we don't have to be deceived. Amen. None of this stuff has to take us by surprise. All right. Verse number 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, we don't hear about this a whole lot, but this does happen.
Amen.
I was over in Israel, and we were at one of the sites that the Catholic Church says was the burial place of Christ. And while we were there, there was a man that was there that, you know, was dressed up, and he said that he was the Christ. And the folks that live there in Israel are missionary. He said this happens all the time over here, all the time. And but it's gonna increase, and there's gonna be people that show up that say that they're the Christ.
Happens in the Philippines a lot too.
Yes, I've heard about that in the Philippines and these different countries.
Right.
And look at verse number 6. Pay attention to that. They asked him, "What are the signs that the end's coming?"
Right.
"Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars."
Yeah.
Now, there's been wars for a long time. And I'm going to get back to that here in just a second. Wars and rumors of wars. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." He said, you'll see these things, but that's not the end yet. Just hang on. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." We're starting to see some of this stuff play out right now. And I don't have time to go into all the statistics, but you can go look it up. This stuff is taking place. And I don't mean to make light of it, but Chick-fil-A ran out of sauce.
Yes, sir.
Do what? A mouse?
Yep.
Well, that's all right. Did he come up that hole?
I'm not sure. Okay.
As long as it stays over here, we'll be all right.
Church mouse.
Yeah, we've been trying to catch them. But I know I'm making a joke with that, but there's starting to be food shortages.
Yeah.
And some of these...
Let me rest assured. Hey, they're partnering with a manufacturer to open a factory.
Oh, yeah, she works at Chick-fil-A. She knows. All right, so we'll get Chick-fil-A sauce back. But...
Walmart's running out of stuff.
Well, that is true.
There are companies run... I mean... That there's starting to be food shortages on different things. And then you got people like Bill Gates buying up all this farmland.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So they can control the food.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is, these are all signs.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this right now is really taking off. These are things that he said, nations rise against nations, and man, we're seeing that right now. Look at all these nations that are wanting to stand with the Palestinians. Against Israel. Pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. We've seen these things. You can look them up and see the different things. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
I mean, things are really starting to ramp up, and it's the beginning of the sorrows we're going to start seeing. You say, why are you telling us all this? Because I'm telling you, church, we need to get in and get right now. And God's given us an opportunity to fix it ourselves. Amen. He'll help us, but I'm talking about getting right with Him and judging ourselves. All right, look there in verse number 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. It shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Who is he talking about?
Israel.
He's talking about the Jews in Israel right here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, he's talking about the Jews and Israel. And we're seeing this happen right now. And it's going to get worse. "And they shall kill you." There were some that died the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And this there were some that died even in... Did anybody die in the United States with all the riots against the Jews?
They were hurt pretty bad.
I mean, they were afflicted. We're seeing these things.
Our own president told Netanyahu to stop.
Right. Ask them to cease fire.
In
verse number 10, "And then shall many be offended."
Oh, yeah.
Man, you can't go anywhere right now without somebody being offended.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't go absolutely anywhere and somebody's going to be offended about something. We talked about it last week. You can't say, "Hello, ma'am, how are you?" Because she gets offended because she doesn't want to be referred to as a ma'am.
Yeah.
She wants to be a mop. "Hello, mop, how are you today?" Amen?
Yeah.
You said that sounds ludicrous, but that's what we're dealing with. And many shall be offended. These are all the signs of the end times. And shall betray one another. I mean, I don't have to do a lot of commentary on some of this because you've seen it. You've seen it on the news. You've seen it on your social media. And shall what?
Hate
one another. I mean, these groups like Black Lives Matter, they really don't care about black lives. They care about pushing an agenda,
right.
A socialist agenda.
Right.
If they cared about black lives, they would stop killing black babies.
Amen.
They really don't care about that. They care about pushing a socialist agenda. That's what they care about. And so they're trying to stir up hate all in the name of love. Figure that out.
I've got to say right. Now, stop Asian hate. I mean, it's just going everywhere.
It's all these groups that are trying to come up, but it's all trying to push an agenda. It's not really about an individual and their skin color.
No. No,
right. They're using that in order to try to push these things. All right, let's fast forward here in this chapter. You can go back and read this whole chapter sometime and look and see what's coming during this tribulation time and right before it happens. Look at verse number 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. When did Israel become a nation again? 1948. You realize those people that were born in 1948 would be 74 years old right now. The average age of an older person when they die in Israel is 83 years old. You say, what do you mean? He said, this generation shall not pass. Talking about the signs of the end times, when there's wars and rumors of wars, when these things are playing out, that generation will not pass until these things be fulfilled. What if that last person was getting ready to kick the bucket? It could be, I mean, we're promised if they lived a good, clean life, maybe they live 80 years. Maybe they honored their father and mother and got a few more years added to that. But you say, what are you saying? I'm saying it could be in the next, it could be this year or it could be in the next 10 years. But we're getting close.
Man.
And we're seeing these things play out that we were told would be the signs of his return. And all this stuff is leading up to this judgment seat of Christ that we're teaching on about, hey, you need to get things figured out and get it fixed and get moving on for the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? And if it is 10 years from now, you realize, I said this Wednesday night, my daughter will be 21 years old. That's hard to believe.
Yes.
I'll have a son that'll be 19 years old.
My goodness.
Another daughter that'll be 16 years old in 10 years. And it goes just like that. But when they're that old, it's going to be coming near to the end, and I don't want to lose them during this time. Amen. I don't want to lose them. All right. So verse number 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We can say praise the Lord right there. His words it will stay. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Look down at verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom is his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You say he's trying to warn these folks when this time's drawing near and they're about to go through this time here that they need to be found faithful serving the Lord. They need to be found faithful doing right. But he mentions as the days of Noah. Turn with me over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Some of this stuff most people in here already know, but I'm just going back over it for sake of time to let you know that these things that you've been taught and learned are coming to pass. It's happening. The signs of the return of Christ, the signs of the end. All right? Genesis chapter number 6, look with me in verse number 9. Most people know who Noah is. The Bible says here, Genesis 6, 9, Noah found, verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Amen. So Noah was found here and God spared him. The Bible tells us 2 Peter 2:5 that he spared Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought the flood upon the world of the on the ungodly. And so Noah was a just man that was living in a very wicked time. He was living in a wicked day. Now, we're seeing what's going on around us and it looks really, really bad, and it's very bad, but it's going to get worse. And God said that it was like it was in the days of Noah. You said, man, it's never been this bad before. Wrong. It's been worse than this before.
Right. Amen.
It's been worse.
Yep.
As in the days of Lot, it's been worse at least two times. Right. It's bad right now, and it's going to get worse. And it's going to match or be equal to what happened in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Right. But it's been worse than it is right now. And you say, that's hard to believe. It is. We see what's going on. It's hard to believe that. And you know what? They did it without social media. Well, I don't know what kind of technologies they had before the flood, but they were pretty advanced. They were very advanced. And it had something to do with probably UFOs and aliens and sons of men, that giants in the land. And what's all of a sudden showing up again? I'm not going to get into too much of that because some people say you're a kook and leaf, but I'm saying that they were showing up then and they had advanced civilization. During the Tower of Babel, man, there's some of them old writers and stuff you read that said that they were advanced farther than we are now.
Yep.
And God confounded the language there at the Tower of Babel, and he had this flood and all these things that took place. And so all these signs, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. There was widespread violence in the days of Noah. And when Jesus is talking about the last days, he draws parallel from Noah's day. And look with me there in verse number 5, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you tell me that that's not the condition we're in right now?
Yeah.
In the world, not just our country, in the world. But look what the Bible says. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. For all those people that don't like the word repent in the Bible, yeah, said God repented. Nope, he wouldn't care for that. And so all of a sudden here, we find the days of Noah, there was wickedness in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And we're seeing that go on right this second. Jesus referring to the days of Noah here, he's describing what the conditions would be like prior to his return. And we're seeing all these things take place. The earth filled with violence and all these things. Look there in verse number three. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. God had 120 years listed there. And you know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of God's long-suffering. And that's a sign of his grace and mercy. He said, hey, man is wicked. They're not doing right. But I'm going to give him 120 years to get this thing right. I mean, that's long-suffering, is it not?
Yes.
That's grace. And God has told us when the end's coming, and he's given us grace. He's given us long suffering. You say, when's it going to be? I don't know. He told us that this generation shall not pass. I mean, he's given us a window. Amen. We see these things. Some of you, I don't know if some of y'all believe this or not, but I believe he's coming back soon.
Yes.
And I believe that we're seeing these signs that are laid out here. But you know what happened with this? You know what they did with the 120 years they were given? Anything wicked that they could imagine. Anything wicked that they can imagine. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's people today that know of God. The Bible said that in the last days that even the church would not endure sound doctrine. It doesn't mean they won't believe it. It doesn't mean that they won't understand it. It said they won't endure it. What does that mean? They're not going to put up with it. They're not going to put up with it. And you consider the age that we're living in, the increase in violence over the last 100 years. You realize America's a young nation.
Yeah.
But we're just about done. Just about done. The wars that have taken place in the last 90 years. The wars in the past 90 years have killed more people than during the previous 500 years combined. An estimated 203 million people were killed by wars just in the 20th century. Between 170 and 360 million people were killed by governments in the 20th century, apart from war. Recently, more civilians have been dying in armed conflicts than combatants themselves, accounting for 90% of casualties since 1945. Just in the last decade, war has claimed the lives of an estimated 2 million children and has disabled another 4 to 5 million children. Just casualties of war. A silent form of violence that we've seen in our nation. Each year, about 44 million abortions are performed. The Bible said all these things would happen. Globally, there's a study of terrorism group has documented that more than 125,000 violent terrorist attacks have taken place since 1970. You think it's getting bad and worse? I mean, we're seeing it every day. You could turn on the news and every day somewhere in our nation, there are people rioting, killing, stealing, shooting. It happens every day. It happens every day in Birmingham. You just don't hear about it.
Right.
I mean, every single day. You say, well, man, we go to sleep. All around the country, there's some kind of major riot. There's some kind of major killing and things going on every single day. We're hearing about the shootings. We're hearing about all these things. You say, what are you getting at? The signs of the time are here. He's coming back. Amen. And so as we study and as we look at the judgment seat of Christ and as judgment as a son, we need to take it seriously. We need to take it seriously that God has given us an opportunity to get right with Him. All right, so just for a few minutes, I got a few minutes here left. Let's look at lesson number two there. All right, go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I know we already covered some of this, but I'm going to just go back and look at the Hebrews 12. That was our text verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5. This is talking about the judgment as a son. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, Then are ye bastards and not sons. And so we're dealing with the judgment as a son. And thanking the Lord that whenever we mess up as a child of God, we have an opportunity to get right, and that the Lord does chasten us. If the Lord convicts your heart about sin, which is a job of the Holy Spirit, is to convict you of sin. And if he does that, you need to say, thank you, Lord, for doing that, not get mad about it. Amen. But look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We looked at this verse last week when we did the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If we do not judge ourselves like we're supposed to, the Lord's going to do it. But we would be much better off to judge ourselves and to stay right with God. Keep a short account with him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And look with me in verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. When he's talking about sleep, he's talking about those that have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so we would be in a much better position if we would judge ourselves and just stay right with God. Yeah. Isn't it much better whenever you feel like you messed up, you know you did wrong, to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I just messed up. Rather than to hold on to that thing and continue to live in that sin and then God have to judge you and try to get you straightened back up. It's much, much, much better for you to do it yourself and to judge yourself. If a Christian strays far enough away from the Lord, he can become a stumbling block to others. There's a lot of people that they get crossways with God and they know they're not living right, but they think they're only harming themselves, but they're hurting everybody around them. Especially if you've got children. You're hurting their walk with God and you're hindering them. Look with me in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're talking about this judgment as a son. If you're in that position where you're hindering other people and you're not doing right, God just may take you home early to get you out of the way from hindering other people. Romans chapter 8 verse number 1. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse number 13 of the same chapter. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall what?
Die.
If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what's God saying there? I don't know. He might be saying if you're not willing to straighten up and do right and live right, that he might just take you out of here. What use would God have for somebody that's not going to live right and do right? You're a bad testimony to the name of Christ, and you're a bad testimony to the church and to your family if you're not going to live right and do right. An example can be found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'll just read it for you for sake of time. I believe you have it there on your paper. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God... Does anybody want to guess that next word? I know it's a blank on your paper. Destroy. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know, as I read through these verses, I think about how merciful and long-suffering God is. Man, how many times in our life should we have been destroyed? But God is merciful and he's gracious. We have great examples in the Bible like David, who sinned against God, but he knew how to get right with God. There's many times that David sinned, and before God ever had to judge him, he was getting right with God. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've sinned against you. Father, I'm sorry that my heart wasn't right and my soul, my body and the things that I've done were not right with you. And he was able to repent and get right with God before God ever had to do anything. And man, what an opportunity we have to do the same thing. I don't know how people live in sin. If you're saved, you will be a miserable person. No peace, no joy. And the sad thing is you have access to peace and joy if you just get right with God. God has that for you. He wants to do that. A child of God does not go to hell for doing wrong. If you're saved, you're not going to go to hell for doing wrong. But what will happen is he does get chastened. A child of God does get chastened for doing wrong. A child of God loses fellowship with God. He loses rewards. And he could lose his life. I'll go over those one more time for those writing them down. He gets chastened. He loses fellowship with God. He loses rewards. And he could lose his life. That's the judgment as a son of God. Now, again, I said this. It's important to stay in your Bible and stay in church because God uses those things to help guide you. I mean, we read all about it through the book of Psalms. We've been reading Psalms and Bible reading. I think we just got out of most of them. But over and over again, we find out how the Word of God and how God's house is a place to help keep us in line. Our flesh wants to sin. It wants to mess up. It wants to experience the things of this world and get us astray and get us away from God and away from church. But the Bible helps keep us in line. We have to have Bible every day. We need to read our Bible and help keep ourselves right with God and chasten ourselves if we mess up and judge ourselves so God doesn't have to. But if you don't do that, thankfully God does it for you. Amen. Said, man, I've never said thank God for a whooping. There was some I got when I was younger that I never thanked God for, but now later on looking back, I say, Lord, thank you that I had a dad that would, you know, biblically discipline me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Say, what does that mean? I don't know. It was different meanings at different times, but it worked. Amen. But I thank God for it now. And some of you can look back in your life and say, God, thank you for getting my attention.
Yep.
God, you woke me up.
Yes.
And I listened.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sadly, there's people that God's done that for time and time again. And eventually God just says, all right, do whatever you want to do. And they turn them over to destruction. You don't want to get in that place. Amen. Judgment as a son. Next week, we're going to look at judgment as a servant. Judgment as a servant. So judgment as a sinner was past tense. It was on the cross. Judgment as a son is present tense. And judgment as a servant is going to be a future tense. It's a judgment that will take place in heaven one day. And this is where we're going to start getting into some of the judgment seat of Christ and what you have or have not done for Him. All right, let's all, don't stand. I'll just pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we know that the signs are coming, Lord, and you've told us in your word, Lord, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be deceived. And God, we know that there's going to be many deceived. Lord, there's going to be people that are saved that get deceived because they're not in their Bible, Lord, and they're not faithful, Lord, to church. They're not faithful to the things that you have for us, and they'll be easily deceived. And Father, we don't want to be a group that's deceived. And Lord, we're looking for your soon return. We thank you for all that you do for us. I pray you'd bless the morning service, God. I pray you'd have the preeminence and everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.